Priya and the story, something there about the impersonalist austerity or renunciation thing. For instance, well, we're looking at the Mahabharata here when Arjuna's son got killed and he's perturbed. And then I think of what we sometimes were talking about in classes, lecturing about heavily. King Chitraketu, he got his son back, who then asked him, "Which life were you, my father?" That kind of indifference, the coldness. Yeah, if your son dies, what was that in? We told a story from Mayapur. One of the great devotees of Lord Chaitanya, they were having their beautiful kirtan and then got a report that his son was dead or someone. He said, "Why do you dare to disturb me in my kirtan with that?" Now, brahmacharis, meaning young guys from the West especially, maybe it's the same all over, who take up this, you know, who join this bhakti movement, this Krishna consciousness movement, and read these things. And then you have these heavy sannyasis who sometimes, some of them are homosexual, some they just hate women, and some are just trying to be good sannyasis, what they think that means. Meaning no attachment anymore to any material relationships. This material world stinks, it's bad, it's terrible, let's go away from here. But then you see there Mahabharata, Arjuna, the great devotee of Krishna, who has already been enlightened by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, he's perturbed when his son dies. So how does it go together? Well, I think this. These examples given there in the Bhagavatam, they serve not to, how to say, condemn attachment to your children or near and dear ones in general as some who are more influenced by the impersonalist interpretation, more of the mukti, you know, just give up all the forms of this world that and relationships. But to describe the higher levels of realizations that a real bhakta, a real transcendentalist can come up to. It's a very, very high level. And the reason why those examples are given is that, you know, if you can, or if you are even in that situation that you're, those who are your children, you don't see them as your children, as just as some in this life or whatever way you see it. This proves that realization of a transcendentalist, that this world is, well, I'm kind of out of here. But when a new, who has come to the Hare Krishna movement in some city in Sweden or whatever, then read this and try to emulate that. He has never had a family, he has no children. Maybe he just didn't like growing up here, and he had bad experiences with relationships, which we often have here. And I would say it's not because we are very renounced and highly enlightened. It may be more that because we are born in a culture, civilization here in the West, which is on the decadence. the social relationships are crumbling and are weakened and disturbed. And I can even see it, I mean, in India and places like that, China, the families are so strong. And there's such strong love and respect between family members. So these verses there from the old scriptures, or these examples there from the Chaitanya, are meant for such people to kind of, yes, we all know that we, the greatest love here is for the children by the mother and the father, and between friends and lovers and so on, a family. Even that we will have to learn to deal with eventually, of course, since we die one after another, and who goes first, we don't know. So it's to help. It's a mature addition to a mature emotional and social life of the people that these books are written for. And if they are sannyasis or on that level, it's generally because they have raised the families and they have taken care of it all, and they are now old and the children are adults and taking care of themselves and maybe even taking care of the parents. So then it's time to move on. It's time to let go. It's time for mukti. It's time for liberation. That's the mature way of doing it. So we have to see these things in that context of the society which these scriptures were written for. Because if you just take it right into, as we did, and I'm talking out of experience myself, because I used to be one of those young monks who spoke like this in classes and who thought like that. Children are just horrible, terrible. Never in my life will I have children. And then, well, that's another story, but at one point Krishna definitely grabbed that hard heart and cracked it. Because that's not how devotee is supposed to be. We misunderstood things. And I got that from others who had misunderstood things as well. So you can't blame a specific person for it. It's just happened, and we should, rather than blaming each other, as in everything I'm talking about here, pointing fingers, but rather see the misunderstanding, see the problem, see the wrong thing that just appeared. It has to be seen and identify that this is wrong, and then correct it. That's just part of the maturity, the healthy life of an organization or of some movement of any kind. We learn it. We read books about non-profits and how to manage and build up these, and even churches and so on. A very important thing there, and something that should be done after every project even, is evaluation. Just look at it. How did it work out so far? Did we do this right or that wrong? And then you learn from that in time for the next step. So these are just normal procedures, and what I'm talking about is just that. Hare Krishna.